Your presence is certainly appreciated this morning. There are some of you here today who will be leaving us perhaps this afternoon or tomorrow. Our prayers and thoughts go with you. We wish you well. Many of you are here as family of graduates, and we're grateful to have you. Want you to come back and be with us whenever you can. Today is special in different ways. It's special as the Lord's Day, as every Lord's Day is, when we're able to assemble around the Lord's table and show forth the Lord's death till He comes. It's special in that it is designated as Mother's Day, and certainly it is appropriate for us to remember our mothers. Lord willing, I'll see mine tonight about 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Judy and I are leaving just after the evening service to go to Lewisburg, West Virginia. I'll begin a meeting there tomorrow night. We're driving on to Dad's and Mother's to spend the night and to be with them for a little while and to break the trip into two sections. I hope that if your mother is alive, that you will make some contact during the day to let her know of your appreciation, if it's possible for you to do that. For those whose mothers have already passed on, take just a moment to think about what your mother meant to you when she was alive. William Ross Wallace wrote a poem, and he ended the end of each verse of that poem with the words, "For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." We believe that there is a great deal of truth in that. Kate Douglas Wiggins said, "Most all of the other beautiful things in life come by twos, threes, dozens, and hundreds. Plenty of roses, stars, sunsets, rainbows, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, but only one mother in the whole world." Someone else, and I don't know who it was, said simply, "There are mothers and there are others." How true. One of our leaders in this nation supposedly was visiting in another country a few years ago and talking to a leader of that country, and asked the question, "What do you think we could do in America that would help the country more than anything else?" And the other leader's answer immediately was, "Put your mothers back in the homes." I think he hit on something there. For a few minutes this morning, I want you to think with me about the question, is it possible to replace mother? And up front, I want to tell you the conclusion that we'll come to at the end, and that is that it is not possible to successfully replace mother. We live at a time when we try to replace about anything. We've made so many strides in the medical field that now we can transplant just about any organ of the body except the brain, and for some of us, I'm hoping that maybe that'll come about. We change most anything. We substitute. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't believe we can replace mother. But we may be trying to do that. I understand that there are some countries today where there is a movement to set up a government-controlled child care system, whereas when the child is born, that it's more or less taken from the family and placed in a child care type of situation run by the government. We've not come to that point, and yet sometimes we may not be as far away from that in some instances as we would like to be. Can mother be replaced? Not successfully. Let me suggest to you in the first place this morning that a babysitter cannot replace mother. Now, don't misunderstand me. I recognize full well from experience with our children and now grandchildren that there are times when there is the need for someone else to care for a child. And that need can be met successfully. I realize also by experience in the family and association with many others that in our present time, it may very well require many of our younger mothers to work outside the family and outside the home. I'm thankful for good daycare places that we have. I'm thankful that there are people who are willing to help when the need is there. But having said that, I'm here to say to you this morning that even the very best situation cannot replace mother. And if mothers allow themselves to depend upon a babysitter or a child care center to do what mother ought to be doing, I predict that problems will follow. If you, as a mother, must of necessity be outside the home, look at your attitude. When you take your child to the babysitter or the one who's going to care for it, do you take it with the attitude of leaving it and wanting to get back as soon as you can? And maybe throughout the day there are thoughts that you just can't wait till you can have that baby in your arms again and be a mother to it. Or do you take it with the attitude, I'm glad I can leave it and not have the responsibility for a few hours? I think the attitude and the difference in those two attitudes just described is something that is very, very important for our consideration. We might say that there is an example of obtaining a babysitter in Exodus chapter 2. Moses' mother came to conclude that she could not take care of her son by herself. The circumstances were a bit different from what we normally face, but the idea is there. But notice she did everything she could to care for that child as long as she could. And only when it was absolutely necessary did she look for some other approach and some other help. And after the incident of Moses being placed in the little ark and the bulrushes, even after that, she still was his mother as long as she could possibly be. And I'm not for sure, I couldn't prove this one way or the other, but I'm not for sure that she did not continue to have some contact with him even when he was in Pharaoh's house. I do know what he stood for at age 40. And know he had to get that basically from his mother. Now here was a setting where the only way that Jochebed could keep her son alive was allow him to be brought up by someone else. But it was out of necessity and not just out of desire. I think something can be learned from that. I read an article not long ago that was written by the wife of a young minister. They had just had their first baby. This woman was working in public work before the baby was born and intended to go back, thinking it was necessary. But the gist of her article was that when she sat down and put it all on paper and looked at what her income would be and what her extra expenses would be, and then determined that she could learn to sew and make her clothes and the clothes for the child and could put out a garden and could can and freeze food, she found out that she could make money by staying at home with her child. I don't know that that's always the case. But I do say that we need to look at all the factors and whatever the necessities are, that we realize that no babysitter can ever replace mother. And it may take some extra effort on the part of one who out of necessity has to use a situation like that to be the best mother possible when one is with her child. I further suggest to you that the school system cannot replace mother. I'm thankful for many good schools that we have, and I think you join with me in being grateful for the school system we have here. I believe in many ways, especially considering the teachers, that we have a school system that's far above average. But the school system cannot replace mother. But you listen to what's happening and you observe what's happening, and you'll see in many instances that it's apparent that parents are depending on the school system to teach that which needs to be taught at home. Timothy was a young man whom Paul indicated to be wise. He said in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15 that you've known the Holy Scriptures from a child, and these are the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Where did he get his teaching? He didn't get this kind of teaching in the school system. There's nothing wrong with going to school at that time. Paul said he went as far as he could go, and he emphasized that. But the school system could not replace what needed to be done at home. We're not careful today. We sort of back up on our responsibilities, and let's put us fathers in with the mothers. And by the way, we're the ones who are really told that we have the responsibility as fathers to lead in the teaching in our families. If we're not careful, we're going to depend on the teacher at school to teach our sons and daughters the things we ought to be teaching them at home. And I don't believe that any school teacher can replace mother. I would give you as a classic example what's happening in the area of sex education. I firmly believe what's being done in our school system in the name of sex education is promoting immorality. And godly mothers, with the support of godly fathers working together, can promote morality with the right kind of teaching in the home. And there has not been trained yet the teacher in the school system who can teach some of these subjects to a young person like mother can teach it in the home. And I'm not trying to do away with the responsibility of the father. Certainly the responsibility is there, but the mother is just the key to it in teaching values, moral values, and spiritual values. And the school system cannot replace mother. I don't believe the church and its teaching program can replace mother. I'm thankful here for the program that we have. I believe we have above average Bible school program. And I would strongly urge every one of you parents to have your children in Bible class Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and every opportunity. I think you may be sinning against them if you don't. But having said that, we need to realize that the church, with its teaching program and with all that happens, cannot replace mother or daddy. We have a fine youth group here. And by the way, tonight at the evening service, I'm going to be talking to the young people, and I want the 7th through 12th graders here. We've got 10 on this front seat tonight. We need about 6 seats for our 61 young people that are in the 7th through the 12th grade. I want the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders over here to the right. We have 61 young people on our young people's list that we work with in our youth program. Over 90% of those in the 7th grade through the 12th are already Christians. And unless they're out of town, over 90% of them will be here at basically every service. The church is doing a good work. But the Bible school program cannot replace mother. And the youth program cannot replace mother. And all that's done with our young people, devotions and other things, not going to replace mother. Mother just cannot be successfully replaced. And let me just sound a note of concern in passing. It was mentioned to me that in the last several months, only 4 of our families, of our teenagers, have had the teenagers into their homes for devotions. Might be worth taking note. Are we allowing ourselves to expect the church to do the teaching that we ought to be doing as mothers and fathers? Oh, thank God for their help. Thanks be to God for all the good things that are being done. And I believe our young people growing up in the setting where they are here today have a much better opportunity to be fine Christian young men and young women than in some places where no interest is shown in our young people. Thank God for all of it, but the church cannot replace mama. The church cannot do the work of the home in the sense of teaching the things that need to be taught. In Psalms, the 127th chapter, verses 3 and 4, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Blessed is the man who hath his quiver full of them. And then he explains that a child is like an arrow in the hand of a mighty man. A fellow takes a bow and arrow, and he points that arrow in the right direction, and he sends it out with the right speed. That's the responsibility of the home. And we need more mothers and fathers who accept that responsibility and then use these other things we're mentioning as helpers in carrying out that responsibility. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in verse 14, the woman is told to be a keeper at home. And I suggest to you that means more than keeping the house clean. Being a keeper at home, guiding the house, and being a keeper at home, she has a responsibility to guide. And that's given specifically to the mother. Perhaps one of the reasons for that is that under usual circumstances, the mother has more time to be with the smaller children than does the father. But I say to you this morning, as much as the church can help and as much as we want it to help, it cannot replace mother. I'm ready to work my fingers to the bone to see us grow and build these buildings that we're talking about. And next Sunday morning, I want to preach a lesson on seeing through the walls. I want to tell you some of the things that I see that we can do as we're talking about young people and helping them to grow up to have Christian homes, bringing other young people in. But I want to say to you today that all of that cannot replace mother. Because mother just cannot be replaced. And I want to go one step further. I'd like to suggest to you today that father cannot replace mother. Now, there are times, because of death and other circumstances, that a father has to be both father and mother, or mother has to be both. I had a friend, a fellow preacher, living in the area near Gallatin, Tennessee, when I was there, whose wife died at the birth of their third child. And I respect that man so highly for the work that he did in rearing those children, even that baby, and bringing it up without a mother, without a wife. But that's not the way God wants it under usual circumstances. There are some things that we as fathers can do that mothers cannot, but there are some things that mothers can do that fathers cannot. There are some sections of our society today who especially need a father figure, and you hear something said about that, and I'm told by those who go to Russia that that's one of the biggest problems there. But folks, we need also to understand the importance of that mother figure in the home. God didn't make man and woman in a way that's unequal. He made them different. Gave each one of them some specific responsibilities. There are some things that a man can do in the home and in the church that a woman cannot do, and there are some things a woman can do that a man cannot do successfully. I think we understand that from human nature, and I believe we understand it when we read God's Word. There's something interesting in the story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4. You remember, this is the one who had the blessings given to her to have a son, and then later on that son died, and she went back to God's representative, and he raised the son from the dead. You remember the story? It's the story where the question is asked, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy son? And she said, it is well. But there's something in that story that I want you to notice. When the little boy got sick, he was out in the field with his father. And the scripture says he got sick in the field with his father, and the next verse says his father brought him to his mother. Can't you read between the lines there? There's just something about that mother's touch. There's something that the mother can give. Yes, the Bible does talk about that feminine side. Talks about the wrong aspect of it when the man tries to be that kind of person, but it emphasizes the importance of it when it's talking about the wife and the mother. A father cannot replace mother. She just cannot be successfully replaced. And therefore, it is fitting today and every day that we pay respect to our mothers. It is said in the latter part of Proverbs 31, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. But at least three times earlier, at verse 15, verse 25 and 27, something is said about her relationship to the household. She looketh well to her household. She prepares for her household. She's taking care of her family. There's just something about a mother that you can't find anywhere else. And whoever made that little statement, "There are mothers and there are others," knew the truth. You cannot replace mother with a babysitter. You cannot replace mother with a good school system. You cannot replace mother with an excellent program at church. And you cannot replace mother with a father. You just cannot successfully replace mother. Thank God for our mothers. May their tribe increase. And may God bless them. The greatest thing you can do to be a good mother is to be a good Christian. The greatest thing you can do to be a good father to help a good mother, or to be a good son or daughter to give thanks and honor to a mother at the same time of giving thanks and honor to God, is to be a Christian. I think the greatest thing that any one of us could do today to pay respect to our earthly mothers and our heavenly Father is to be a Christian and live a Christian life. Therefore, if you need to be baptized into Christ today, or if you need to be restored, come as together we stand and sing. Holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways? Working for the Master, giving him the praise. Earnest in the vineyard, honoring his laws. Faithful to his counsel, watchful for his cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I.